Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another program of Two Guys with Heart. Dave and I have a very, very, very exciting program lined up for you today. Dave, why don't you tell our listeners what they have in store for them coming up?
Hey, there's something wonderful about telling stories. The other night, the old couriers that I sang with got together for a dinner with somebody come to town we had known for 40 years. We sat in our diner and we told stories for over an hour. Unbelievable. And I said, why don't we tell some of our best stories that we always talk about when we get in the game? Hey, we can do that on the radio. So I came in here and I said, hey, Giff, let's tell some of our stories today, all right? And he said, wonderful, let's do that again. We might even get the engineer, Carla, to come over here and tell him. Wasn't she great when
she was good
telling her story?
She was good.
She is super. So, Giff, you're first.
All right.
We'll go from there.
All right, yeah. Well, I like this format. It's always a bit of encouragement, isn't it? That's what our bottom line is, to encourage our listeners. Well, I think the laughter is one of the key things that we're all a little short of. So let me share a story about that, if I might. Can you remember a time in your life, when you were much younger, of course, about how joyful your life was? Well, I can certainly remember that. A recent study found that kids laugh an average of 150 times a day, while the adults laugh only about 10 times a day. Hey, what happened? We must have a laughter framework to us. There's got to be something about that. Especially in the church, we need to laugh at ourselves along with others. Well, there's a gentleman named John Updike, contemporary American novelist, who decided that he was going to describe his parents as inclined to laugh a lot and examine everything for the fingerprints of God. Laughter, he said, is a great gift from God, and most of us tend to tackle every problem head on without the release of laughter. And laughter's the best medicine. Remember, you always heard that when you were a youngster, didn't you? Well, grandmother and granddaughters and a precious 10-year-old were spending the evening together when their little girl suddenly looked up and asked, "How old are you, Grandma?" And the woman was a bit startled. But knowing her granddaughter's quick little mind, she wasn't too shocked. "Well, honey, when you're my age, you don't share your age with anybody." "Ah, go ahead, Grandma. You can trust me." "No, dear. No, I don't tell anybody my age." Grandma got busy fixing dinner and suddenly realized the little darling had been absent much too long. She checked and found her upstairs in her bedroom. And her granddaughter had dumped the contents of her purse on top of the bed and was sitting in the middle of this mess holding her grandmother's driver's license. When her eyes met, the child announced, "Grandma, you're 76. "Why, yes, I am. How did you know that?" "I found the date and your birthday here in your driver's license and subtracted from this year. So you're 76. "Well, that's right, sweetheart. Your grandmother is 76. The little girl continued, staring at the driver's license, and added, "You also made an F in sex at Grandma." What? Somewhere between childhood and innocence and now, life has become too grim. When did we well exercise our sense of humor and joy and get sacrificed in the altar of adulthood? Who says that being a Christian means you must have a long face? To be joyful is a choice. To laugh is a choice. To choose to laugh is to be joyful. an F in sex, female. You know, got it. Yeah, that's it.
You went by yes. that too quick.
Yeah, I know.
You just rolled right over.
It did, yes,
you know,
I did.
You know, the little card said, are you male or are you female?
Yes,
put
yes.
an M or an F, and she put an F, and the little girl said, grandma,
you got an F.
You flunked sex with
sex
an F.
Education, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
I didn't mean to wrap up your story.
Well, that's it. I didn't say it very clearly, so you're right in helping me out. But I thank you. Grandma, you got an F in sex. As F for female. I thought that too was a funny story. But it goes to show that no matter, you know, what our situation might be, a little sense of humor and laughter is always the best medicine. And that gets us through a lot of tough times. Well, David, you have any stories you'd like to
share?
Oh, do
I have stories,
okay.
Man. I was waiting for you.
Okay.
I was intent on what you were saying. Boy, when my ears couldn't come right up with what you were saying.
I did say that pretty quick, didn't I? Okay, you got me. I apologize.
Larry
Whitaker.
That
might have been funnier than the story.
Yeah. Larry Whitaker.
Okay.
He is the advertising director in Springfield, Missouri. He was interrupted one morning at the office with the presentation of a huge $10 million check from Publishers Clearing House.
Woo.
Did you ever dream about that?
Oh, yeah. Ed McMahon, and he's standing there with a $10 million check.
I got up in the middle of the night and looked out the window to see if that big truck was coming up the driveway. They're getting ready to surprise me at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've been through that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The $10 million prize had come to this man who worked at the newspaper.
Yeah.
They brought the official check. They arrived in their special van, and they were all, it was right. And the TV cameras were rolling. What a happy occasion. $10 million. And Larry Whitaker was already mentally spending them. You know how you can spend $10 million in 10
oh, yeah.
minutes when you're. When
Real
you're
easy.
What? This was happening. The activities proceeded from inside the office to the outside. Everybody went from the inside, carrying the check, going outside on the sidewalk, and wanted to see what was happening. The trucks were there, and the crowd was gathering to congratulate Larry on his good fortune. And then his wife, Larry's wife, came up behind him and hugged him and whispered in his ear, "April Fool."
Oh, my.
Oh, would you ever stay married to a lady like that?
Oh, I don't
think
so.
But she had been put down so many times, she decided to win this year. And she did. I'll tell you, that was... what did Whitaker say? He said, well, it's going to be fun getting even.
Yeah.
Some fun must fall. Life without laughing can get pretty grim. It's okay to laugh. In fact, it should be made a requirement that each couple learn to laugh together. To laugh is to chuckle or to roar or to snicker or, you know... Over time, chuckling this much also lowers your blood pressure and your heart rate and reduces pain and strengthens the immune system. And, man, the biggest problem, finding that many things to laugh about. I need to tell my wife this story so that April 1 next year, she doesn't come up with some big story that whispers in my ear. It's April Fool Day. April Fool Day. So, how's that for a story?
That's a good one.
Hey, Carla, you're the engineer. I'm asking you to come and tell us a story. See if you can beat that one about April Fool, Carla.
Well, you guys are laughing, and I agree that laughter is really good. Laughter is one of the things that will get you through the hard times.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I got an F, too.
You got an F, yeah. All right.
I haven't have too. But I want to just talk about obstacles, because there's another thing that when laughter sometimes will fail you when you're facing obstacles, but there is something that won't fail you when you're facing obstacles, because sometimes laughter just goes out the window, right?
Yep.
Life, though, is not always easy. We can laugh our way through some of it, but some of it we can't. In fact, for most of us, life has not been fair, and certainly there have been difficulties, trials, and tests. Many of the world's greatest people have been saddled with disabilities and adversities, but they have managed to overcome them. I'm sure they had laughter. The question is, were they great people, or did their overcoming the difficulties make them great? Consider, cripple him, and you have a Sir Walter Scott. Lock him in a prison cell, take away his freedom, take him out of the circulation, and you have a John Bunyan. Bury him in the snows of Valley Forge. You didn't know I was born in Valley Forge, did you? Facing an enemy which far outnumber his troops, and you have a George Washington. Raise him in abject poverty, make him struggle through political defeat after defeat, let him lose the love of his life, and you have Gift and Abraham Lincoln. Gift loves history. Subject him to difficult upbringing, expose him to bitter religious prejudice, and you have a Disraeli. Strike him down with infantile paralysis, take away his legs, make him dependent utterly on others, and you have one of our presidents, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Have him or her born black in a society which is filled with racial discrimination, and you have a Booker T. Washington, a Harriet Tubman, a Marian Anderson, a George Washington Carver, a Martin Luther King, or even a Nelson Mandela. Make him the first child in an Italian family of 18, Dave. Subject him to abject poverty. Gift him, though. Gift him musically. And you have Enrico Caruso. Have him born of parents who survived a Nazi concentration camp. Paralyze him from the waist down when he is 4 years old. And you have an incomparable concert violinist, Ithaq Perlman. Call him, Gift, a slow learner. Tab him as being retarded. Write him off as being uneducable. And guess who you have? An Albert Einstein. Deafen a musical genius composer, and you have made a Ludwig van Beethoven. Ban him to an island prison. Give him visage, and guess who you have? Dave, you should guess this one. You have John the Beloved. From the Bible. From the Bible. Wow. That's right. So, when laughter fails us, guess what? God doesn't, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. So, that's my laughter. My joy is found in Jesus.
Okay, Gift. It's your turn.
Yes.
Thank you, Carla. That was great.
She does a good job, doesn't she?
She named all those people, and we knew every one of them.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yes, she put it together very well.
If you can beat that, go ahead.
All right. Well, my story is a bit more on the surreal side. You know, children can have a heart of gold, and they can demonstrate some true miraculous feelings for one another. And I want to tell a little story about that. It's a story about the young kids, the fifth grade class. It was a bunch of boys playing together, but it was almost impossible to tell which one of those young boys that were playing together was going through chemotherapy, because all of the boys were bald. 13 of them had their head shaved so that the 14th one wouldn't feel out of place, because he was going through chemo and lost all of his hair. Isn't that a heartwarming story?
Wow.
You know, if everybody that has their head shaved, some people don't know who is who. If we all did that, they don't know who has cancer or who has just shaved their heads. Well, this 11-year-old boy was one lucky friend, but he had the lucky people around him, because they loved him dearly, and they didn't want him to feel out of place in their elementary school. Well, for the record, this guy's name was Ian O'Gorman. He was the sick one. He's the one that was unhealthy. And the doctors removed a malignant tumor from his small intestine, and he was on chemotherapy to treat the disease called lymphoma. Well, Ian decided to get his head shaved before all of his hair fell out. To his surprise, his friends just wanted to join him. The last thing he would want was to not fit in or to be made fun of. So we just wanted to make him feel better and not left out, was how the one 10-year-old boy responded, his buddy Kyle. Well, Kyle started talking to the other boys about the idea, and then one of their parents started a list. Last week, all went to the barbershop together. Their teacher, Jim Alder was his name, also had his head shaved. You're showing the country and the world what kids can do. People think kids are going downhill. This is the best. Alder said, these kids will stick together no matter what. Well, to the compassionate friend is sharing the feeling of sympathy, even sorrow for the hurt and the suffering of someone else. But it goes even beyond these feelings. You see, it has its reason for compassion and the desire to eliminate some of the pain or even to remove it completely. What a wonderful kind of friend. You see, Ian had 13 of them. Other peers who had enough feelings or humanity and their heart to sacrifice their hair too. Well, when I am hurting, give me more of these kind of people. That's the people I want around me. The good book tells us that in order to have friends, one must be friendly. One of the major keys to enjoying a wonderful life is to be a friend and have friends. While you are young, is the time to bring establishing those friendships, which will last you a lifetime. Who of your friends needs some compassion and understanding in their lives? Think it over, join them, show them friendship, show them fellowship. And that's also based on the scripture. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Gives you something to think about. Friendship is very, very important, quite solemn. And even when the young people know how to demonstrate good Christian friendship. That's a heartwarming story. I like that one.
So what do you think about all these stories that we're telling?
Do you think there's a variety of them? Yes, there's some are humorous, some are quite solemn, some bring encouragement to our lives in one form or another. All of them talks about choices. You know, God gives us all choices. He doesn't make us do anything. We all have a choice to live as you want to live. You want to live a godly life, or do you want to live doing anything that goes life? You have choices to make. God's not going to make you do it. So you have to decide. And that's what this kind of story talks about. And the greatest asset we have are the people in our lives, the people that are around us. That's our greatest, greatest asset. None of us is an island unto ourselves. None of us is a rock to live alone. All of us need one another. That we wouldn't survive, a week, maybe two, at the best, if we were the only person on a good old earth. We need each other. The sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be. David, do you have a story of interest? I bet you do.
I was thinking, you know, at my age, you begin to look back. There's a look at life differently when you get in your 80s. I'd be the first to tell you.
Okay.
If you visit the junkyard, you can go through the junkyard and look right and left. You can see cars that have lost a bumper, lost a fender, lost a windshield, lost an engine. The one tire's here and two are. It's an old, dilapidated, not taken care of. Nobody wants it anymore. They're sitting there in the junkyard, just a big old heap of nothing. And then you go to the next week, you go to an auction for old cars that have been fixed or have been kept. They don't have a scratch on them. They're worth double the money they were when they were made. They have all the tires. You can open the door and everything is still there after 50, 60, 70 years. And everybody looks and says, boy, would I love to have that in my garage. That's the way I look at people today. And I looked at myself and I said, I'm wondering which area I fit after 60 years of living. Do I fit in the junkyard?
Yeah.
Am I a late model junk heap? Have I lost this and have I lost that and am I doing it without this? And here I am and everybody says, look at Dave. He's in the junkyard. Or Or have I lived my 60 years in a way that I still am shiny? I still have everything intact. I still have all my body is still working. And people come and they don't say, oh, look at that piece of junk over there in the yard. No, they say, hey.
He's been restored.
Okay, how can we find that guy? And who fixed up that car? And who made it look right? And all these years, finally we get to the point where we say, where am I? I asked myself that, Giff. I asked myself that question after I thought about that a little bit. Where am I at my age? You look at Dave Colonna and you say, somebody should have helped him when he was 20. He didn't do it right. He did everything wrong. He got into drugs. He got into drink. He got in divorce. He got messed up with his grandkids. He's a junkyard junk today. Nobody even cares for him. Or did you do it right when you were 20? You said, hey, let's get with it here. Let's make something out of ourselves. Let's shine up. Let's fix this buggy. And through the years, you fix and you fix and you fix, and finally you get to 80, and people say, "Boy, what an antique you are!" And boy, you look good. And I don't know where do you fit, Carly? What are you? An antique junkyard?
Oh, Dave, I have to jump in here. Will you guys let me jump in here? Because Giff said something yesterday, and he said it again today. Life is about choices. You know, we've had some talks about laughter. We've had some serious talk. We've talked about obstacles. We've talked about joining and being friends. Well, you know what, Dave? No matter where you would be, there's still a choice from you. So let's say that you end up in a junk pile. Everybody goes to the junk dealer when they can't find that part somewhere else. Everybody and all those cars on the junk dealer's lot, they are cared for because they still have value. So I'm thinking that when I get to your age at 80, whether someone wants to see me as a brand new, whatever that contemporary car is going to be, or whether they want to see me as a pile of junk, I know that I have the choice that God has for me, that I am still good for the parts.
How about that?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you are still right. No matter how somebody wants to see you, I pray that you always see yourself good for the parts. Nobody else has what you have. So whether I want to see you through rose-colored glasses or whether I want to see you as never, ever extinct, always good for the part of God that I need, put me wherever you want to put me. But I know that this pile of junk or this pile of goods is always got the right part for God.
All right. Wow. All right. Now, that's a powerful testimony.
Yeah, we get Carla talking
oh
like that.
Oh, my goodness.
She's going to preach.
She has a powerful meaning. I think she meant she's going to give you her ears.
You got it.
Now, for our listeners who didn't hear yesterday's program, Dave did a story about a lady who donated her ears. I didn't mean to make light of your story.
That was a good story.
But it was a good story. Yes.
Let me just
Yeah, but refresh our listeners.
You go to the funeral home,
and a
boy early in his life was born without ears.
Yeah.
And he had to live his whole life, everybody laughing at him, calling him all kinds of names. And finally, they found a donor who would give them their ears, and he could look right. And they did. And then he went to his funeral of his mother, and during the ending, they pulled back her hair and found out that the mother didn't have any ears. She had donated them to her son years ago. What an amazing story.
You
don't
story
forget
that.
I
didn't forget it.
I'm ready to tell it again every day, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Our time must be going the way we're talking.
Well, it is. It is. Our time is exhausted. We must say goodbye because we're running out of time. But these are heartwarming stories, and they're encouraging stories. You know, and it shows that we do have heart. It's not just two guys. We have two guys and a gal right here with a heart of gold, knowing that we're doing our work for the Lord. And in doing that, the best possible witness we can share is our neighbor, our friends, our neighbors, our acquaintances, our coworkers, all of those people that we have exposure to day in and day out, those are the people we need to witness to. I thank you for being here, Dave. Carla, I thank you for your time. But we've exhausted it. Our clock in the walk says we've exhausted our time, so we have to say goodbye for now. See you soon. Thanks for being here.
Yep. See you next time. Dave Colonin. Bye-bye.